is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're broadcasting live from Etemi and Crescent Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. This morning, we will be having a conversation concerning the interview broadcast on Arise TV over the weekend involving the former military president, Ibrahim Badamosi Babangida. Kenny Okolugbo is a PDP chieftain. He joins me via the telephone this morning. Kenny, good morning to you. Thank you for joining in.
It's my pleasure. I hope you're hearing me.
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear, Kenny.
Okay.
Fantastic. Now, shall we begin? I'm sure you must have seen the interview granted by ABB. I'm sure you must have seen that, Kenny.
Yes, I actually watched the interview.
Overall, what's your assessment of the interview overall?
Well, I think ABB was his usual self. He was quite frank with the situation that what was happening in the country as we are presently experiencing. But a few of the issues he wasn't so frank about was the role he played in the June 12 elections. Like, he didn't open up as usual. We were thinking he was going to open up on why the freest and fairest election in the history of Nigeria was annulled, and the fact that Abiola was not sworn in. He was not open with that. He just said there would have been a coup and it would have been disastrous. He did not tell us those who were the brains behind the coup. Which was one of the sore points of his administration, because if he had handed over to a democratically elected government like Obasanjo did, he would have been more celebrated.
Yeah.
Then another point I would actually have to look at again was his assessment of corruption. If you look at the 313,000 naira as at then that he sacked,
that he mentioned that he sacked a governor over,
it was $42,000. At the exchange rate then, which is about 21 million naira now. But that is still a far cry.
Right.
That shows he was honest in his assessment. That's still a far cry from the amounts we are hearing these days. We are hearing almost trillions. Billions are being misappropriated. And it's sad that IBB, that when he sacked Buhari's government, could not accuse Buhari of corruption, but rather accuse Buhari of high-handedness, not being a team player, and other reasons that were given for the coup speech of 1985. Will now accuse Buhari now of heading a government that is enmeshed in corruption.
You know what? Let's take these things that you have highlighted one after the other. We're going to start with the corruption thing, where IBB said that compared to what is obtained now as regards Nigeria's status in the Corruption Perception Index, where he didn't mention CPI really, but he said that the military regime is a saint compared to what corruption is today. Let's take a listen to that in a moment.
That under your administration, that corruption actually thrived. Is that a fair assessment?
Corruption is what?
Thrived under your administration.
Well, you can't compare it with the fact on the ground now. You can say it. From what I read, from analysis, I think we are saints when compared to what is happening under a democratic dispensation.
Kenny, do you agree?
Okay. The truth about it, Sherif, is if you look at this government, Babatunde Lawal, I was one of those in the forefront when Buhari refused to sack Babatunde Lawal after he was indicted by the Senate.
Right.
Eventually, for allegedly misappropriating funds that were meant for the development of the Northeast area under the Northeast Development Commission. And then the sad thing about it was that even when the Malami Committee was set up, they still found him not guilty. Until Oshibajo had to weigh in. That was when Buhari was forced to now suspend and eventually sack Babatunde Lawal. Babatunde Lawal was not only a CACOS member, but was seen as one of the cabals and the secretary to government. And he's still facing allegations of corruption.
Right.
Now, if you see Eyo Itayo was one head of studies that we're very proud of. We thought she was above board. And she was one person that had her records were impeccable. But eventually, she got not only suspended, but sacked for allegations of corruption. If you look at the executive council, the secretary of government sits next to the vice president. The head of service sits next to the secretary of government before the chief of staff. So, if you have two very key members of your cabinet under a government that you came under three mantras, security, fight against corruption, and economy, sack, would you not say that the military government was a thing? You didn't hear that Babangida sacked his secretary to government or his head of service for corruption. Are you understanding?
I'm with you.
The indices I'm drawing.
I'm with you, Kenny. Exactly.
When you go further to think of Okoyobla, who was supposed to be heading the recovery, federal government recovery agency.
Right.
And was even
asset recovery.
And was always on the media talking about corruption, about the fact that they had recovered, etc., etc. Is now being looked for and being tried for corruption. Then you now talk of someone I know, Magu, that I always thought was above board. I've always tried to hold brief for him because I knew him before he became the head of ESCC.
Okay.
Even though the report on Magu is not out. But Magu has been sacked for alleged corruption. Who is supposed to be the head of the corruption watchdog? That didn't happen under the PDP government. That didn't happen under the military. Then you know
how about those that happened under the PDP? Because Babangida's comment traversed the democratic dispensation that we're currently into right now. That's what he was referring to, not just the APC government. How about those that happened during the PDP government? If you combine the two,
corruption didn't thrive in the PDP government. I'll be deceiving you. Because one of the reasons why our present chairman apologized, because it was one of the reasons for his apology. We accept the PDP government, there was corruption. I wouldn't come on air to come and start trying to make it sound like there was no corruption in the PDP government. Dejani, did she not serve under the PDP government? Don't you know how much has been recovered from Dejani till date? It's not about being alleged. Those are life recoveries. And she's also she was the Minister of Petroleum. But what I'm just trying to say here is, Buhari is seen as a saint.
Right.
We have not said Buhari is corrupt. But when you are the head of a government that is enmeshed in corruption, then the buck stops at your table.
That's right, though.
That's exactly what we are saying. And that's what Babangida was trying to say. There was no PDP president you could have said was seen as the sainthood that Buhari is seen. You understand my analysis?
Yes, there? I'm with you.
And you see, the four people I've listed are four very key people who are not only integral members of his administration, they are those who should have allowed the corruption war have a human not only give it a human face, but give it a deeper sense of recoveries and achievements that allow people to realize that really and truly there was no favoritism. The fight against corruption was straightforward, and funds were being recovered.
Let's go to another thing that IBB touched on over the weekend, and that is about Nigeria's unity. He seemed to think that. You seem to believe that Nigeria's unity is non-negotiable. Kenny, take a listen to this part of the interview, and then we'll come back and talk more on it.
We decided to be one. How many years ago? About 50, 51 years ago. And we have been in that position for the last 51 years. Why should we keep on repeating? Let's sit down. You can have not less than 100 conferences in this country that Nigerians themselves sat down and talked about on how to remain one, how to work with the federating units in the country, how to operate locally, and so on and so forth. I think there are issues that we shouldn't be talking about them now. but rather...
What should we be talking about now?
We should be talking about how to encourage, how to strengthen what we have agreed in the last... If you agree we are going to be united Nigeria since 51 years ago, mm-hmm. we should now be talking on how to strengthen that unity.
There you go, Kelly. Do you agree with him that we shouldn't be talking about Nigeria breaking apart or renegotiating our unity, but we should be talking about how to strengthen our unity instead?
You know, the thing about it I've noticed is I was born after the war. I've noticed that those that experienced the Biafran War and those that were born during the war and were toddlers will not have known what happened during the war. But the military that fought this war, we are actually they're very passionate about the unity of this country. Yes, I know for some of us who were not even born during the war, we might not have known so much about the war. But the truth is, when we keep saying Nigeria's unity is non-negotiable, the way they preach it, we must also be fair. Why is it now that the agitation for the breakup of Nigeria is so strong? It's because they feel they're being cheated. Today, you believe that the evil man can never rise to become the president of Nigeria, or even the vice president, just like Ikweme became, that there is no hope of finding an evil man becoming the vice president. It was only the PDP government that was able to get the evil man to become the Senate president about a couple of times. If you remember Payosanyi.
That's right.
You remember Okadibo, and you remember Namani. They were able to rise to become the number three citizens of the country. And we are able to also have an Igbo man become the chief of army staff. Why am I using this example? The Igbos feel marginalized. They feel that they are not getting a fair deal in a country that is supposed to be theirs. And don't forget that they are endangered in terms of the fact that they have just five states. And their voting numbers cannot make them the president of Nigeria. If they have to become a president of Nigeria, it has to be with negotiation. And now, when you look at what is happening in the Yoruba, usually the Yoruba agitation started only about now, when Igbo had to fight for the Fulani incursions that are happening. The Fulani incursions are happening over everywhere. Even here, I see it in Delta. My village is endangered, in Obiaruku. There are headsmen in caution, and there are people that are being kidnapped and they are being released. People cannot go to the farm. And so, when you now believe that these armed headsmen who have been kidnapping and have been terrorizing the people in their own ancestral home are being treated with kid gloves, and the others are being hounded, people are not being put in positions of authority, then this marginalization and feeling of neglect is what is bringing about the agitation
right.
for self-determination.
Right. So it wasn't...
But give us a premise where people do not feel that they are second-class citizens. That's exactly what we're trying to say.
All right, Kenny, let's go to break very quickly. When we return, we'll talk some more about other areas that Babangida touched on. Stay with us, Lagos. We'll be back.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to the Crossfire. We are trying to get Chris Nwokovia of the APC to join us, but we've been having some difficulty in getting him to join us on the show this morning. But then we have Kenny Okorugbo on the line with us this morning. Kenny, thank you so much for giving us your time this morning. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Before the break, we're talking about the non-negotiable statement made by IBB, and you seem to disagree with his position that, you know, Nigeria should be negotiable, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying that Nigeria should break up. I'm not saying I don't believe in the unity of this country. All I'm saying is that for the country to remain united, we should be all given a fair sense of belonging, which is not happening in the present APC-led government. They know it themselves. They know that Nigeria has never been divided along ethnic lines like we have been divided. They know the agitation for the breakup of Nigeria has never been so intense like we're seeing.
Right.
Before now, it was just Biafra. It was more IPOB. But now we are talking of Oduduwa. And the clamor for Oduduwa is gaining currency every day. Look at the support for Sunday Igbohu. Have you heard any Yoruba leader condemn Sunday Igbohu? Are you not even hearing that Abia State government say they're watching the development on the alleged trial because of the alleged kidnap of Nnamdi Kanu from Kenya to Nigeria without following due process? So when you now see that even those in authority are being very careful with their choice of words for these individuals who are seeking for self-determination, what does that tell you, Sherry? That tells you that the self-determination is gaining currency. So why do we want to sweep it under the carpet and keep acting in self-denial? So we have to go back to the root cause of what's making this thing happen.
Okay.
Address it.
Okay.
Then we can be talking of the unity of this country.
All right. Let's touch on some of the political issues that they touched on in that interview. They spoke about multi-party system. They spoke about restructuring. They spoke about zoning. And let's start with a multi-party system. This is what he seemed to think that Nigeria would do better with a two-party system. Take a listen to him, Kenny. Take a listen.
Look, if you look at the First Republic, we found that up to after the First, Second Republic, everybody in this country tend to gravitate towards two-party system. You had ABGA, you had NNA, you had all sorts of things. There were a lot of other parties, but we all gravitated towards two-party. So we had no difficulty in insisting that two-party is the best thing for us in the country. Mm-hmm. And it happens even now. You had, 70-something? But nobody is talking of them now. It's APC, PDP. You had during Murtala's time, or during Obasanjo's time, we came up with five, I think.
Yes.
All gravitating towards two-party. So Nigeria can do well with a two-party system. So we concluded that and settled. And settled is, this is a settled issue. Let's make a two-party system.
There you go, Kenny. What's your thought about that? That, you know, regardless of the number of political parties that we may have in the country, in the end, it will still end up being two-party system.
Well, his analysis was apt. As a student of political science, one thing we were taught was, In a multi-party system, you must give competition so that the people would have alternatives. So if I can choose party A and party A doesn't do well, I can think of party B and party C. But what Babangida was trying to say is that he got the NRC and the SDP because he always knew that Nigeria would end up with a two-party system. And you see, this is theory has been proved right. Because what we have now, we have almost 70-something parties. But it's just the PDP and the APC that are the parties that are dominated. ABGA is only controlling one state. So you cannot actually say that is a party to say, you know, although they are controlling one state out of the 36 states. So the two-party system offers an alternative. But one thing, again, I found out is that people don't believe in ideology. People don't even know that PDP is supposed to be a little to the left and not to the center. People don't know what the ideology of the APC is. For them, it's just a platform to contest elections. So if I think I'm not being favored in the APC, I port to the PDP. If I think I'm not being favored in the PDP, I port to the APC. That's exactly what it is for Nigerians. Selfish interest, thinking of only themselves.
Right.
And that's exactly what we're seeing in Nigeria.
Will a two-party system now strengthen our democracy, Kenny? Is that what you're saying?
It's supposed to strengthen our democracy, but people don't believe in ideology. They don't even know what political education is. If you ask the average party man that what's the ideology of your party, he doesn't care. That's why people try to say the APC and PDP are parties of the same. Because if you look at those that are in the APC, they are more populated by the PDP. Those who were former members of the PDP. And now when you hear them talking about the PDP, you keep wondering, a governor that has been a commissioner for 8 years under PDP, like Fabio, he was a governor for 8 years under PDP, he was a senator under PDP, which is about 20 years.
Yeah.
And if he talks of PDP, he talks of PDP as if PDP is Boko Haram. Are you understanding where I'm coming from, Sherry?
Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And so what is the ideology here? So you mean the 20 years he was in PDP, he did not believe in the ideology of PDP or all the achievements he had while he was in government? Were they not all done to the credit of PDP? But he talks of PDP today like as if it's Boko Haram. Same with Amechi. Are you understanding?
So the political elites themselves are the problems with the system, not the number of parties that we have.
That's exactly what I'm saying. The political elites are the problem of the system and not the people. So the political elites will first of all purge themselves of their selfish and self-centered interests and thinking of only themselves.
Right.
And we can move forward in the political party.
Let's talk some more. Let's talk some more about some political issues that, you know, were touched on Saturday. He also spoke about zoning. He seemed to not believe in zoning, Kenny. Take a listen to what he said on zoning. Take a listen.
We want to practice democracy the way it should be practiced, or the way it is being practiced, or we define democracy on our own whims and caprices. If we are going to do it the way it is done all over the world, you allow the process to continue, but it is through the process that you will be able to come up with a candidate that will lead the country. His qualifications, his beliefs should be known to Nigerians before somebody ever throws his hat into the ring.
Regardless of where he comes from, are you saying are you saying that Nigeria at this time should jettison the idea of zoning or power shifts and all of that?
Whether we do it now or we don't, we will have to do it. Time will come when somebody will emerge in this country. He is from Ukbila or from Mina. The thing is, he is known, everybody knows him. Everybody tends to accept what he believes. And then if he throws his hat in, say, yes, I had that name up before. Why not? I have started visualizing a good Nigerian leader.
Who is that?
A person who travels in this country and has a friend virtually everywhere he travels. He knows at least one person that he can communicate with. A person who is very versed in economic because of the development. And then a good politician who should be able to talk to the Nigerians and so on. I have seen one or two or three already.
Young, middle-aged, elderly?
60s.
In their 60s?
Yeah.
There you go, Kenny. It seems to think that, look, put competence first before any other thing. That's his own philosophy. Get a Nigerian who is well-connected, who is knowledgeable, who is a brilliant politician and an excellent technocrat to in his 60s to rule this country. Then we can start talking about change, not by zoning. What's your position on that?
You know, the beautiful thing about it is that I agree a whole lot to some extent, what General Babangida said. I'm happy he said 60, because for those of us that are going to be 50 very soon, we wonder if we're going to ever have a chance to aspire to lead this country with the age of Nigerians who are all clamoring to become president. And remember that the likes of Gowon in their 30s became president of Nigeria, even the likes of Obasanjo in their late 40s. Became president of Nigeria. And even Babangida himself and Buhari were 40-something years old, 42, I think, and 44 when he became president of Nigeria. Okay, the good thing about it is that as a former member of the Presidential Campaign Council then, we're always preaching during good luck time that zoning promotes mediocrity, we should allow the best to become the president of Nigeria. But Babangida himself knows that we're dealing with a very delicate situation. How would Jonathan have ever become president if it wasn't by accident? how can a Bayelsa man, the only state that has the lowest vote in the 36 states in Nigeria in terms of national and in terms of population and in terms of national spread, how would they have ever thought of becoming, of having a president come from Bayelsa? If not that he was vice president and eventually became president, and so with the paraphernalia of office and all that, he was able to be reelected. And with the way he led for maybe the first 4 years, Nigerians, the first team, have been able to say, let's elect him after the death of Yar'Adua, but he didn't get a re-election. Now, what am I saying? When we talk of competence, is the first thing. When we talk of ability to be able to understand that you're dealing with a country that is completely made up of different ethnic nationalities, unity in diversity, that is what we preach. But how do you not get those who are from the zones, like how you said, Bayelsa, the man from Anambra, the man from Ebonyi, how do you ever make them president if you don't talk of zoning? That's the question you must ask yourself, Jerry. How do they get the northern votes? You see the votes that are coming from Kano. You see the votes that are coming from Katsina. You see the votes that are coming from Kaduna. It's only Lagos that is able to bring in those bulk votes.
Close to it.
How do you get the Katsina man to trust the Ebonyi man to become president of Nigeria? How do you get the Kaduna man, the Kano man, to believe in the fact that we must have a president of Nigeria that is from Anambra, that is from Delta, that will protect the interests of my people? If we don't zone, if we don't negotiate, we can never be president. These zones will continue to dominate us. And that is exactly why the zoning issue is there in this country. And that's why we say we must have a constitution that should be able to protect the minority. That's exactly what zoning is all about. Protecting the minority and not the majority. Because if we don't talk of zoning, we can never become president of Nigeria. Those of us that are in the minority. But I agree with Babangida. We must first of all talk of competence. We must talk of brilliance. And so when you find people who are competent and brilliant from these zones, they can now become president of this country. But I give him kudos for saying 60 years. That means he's knocking off the likes of Tinubu and Atiku and all the others from trying to become president of this country. Am I right there?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
They are both 60. Are they not above 60?
Right.
But that's exactly what it is.
Let's take some calls, Kenny. When we take two or three calls, we'll come back to the issue of cool. He spoke about the coup as well. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. If you call and you've got 45 seconds to share your thought with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah. Babangida is very, very insincere by saying what they have agreed upon. He's talking about the military. What the military have agreed upon. The military are not the people, the only people that form Nigeria. When we talk of Nigeria, everybody inclusive. And that is why the First Republic, the 1963 Constitution, we have to go back there. It's not that some military men, we just take over power by force. And now we impose what is giving Nigeria problem. That is where our problem is coming from. What Gowon told us by the time they finished the Civil War was that he wants to reconstruct what was damaged.
So you don't believe that Nigerians decided to stay together, as being said by the former president, military president.
Nigeria decided to stay together in 1963 Constitution.
All right, thank you so much. Let's take some other calls because of time. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
Let me quickly, maybe 15 seconds. I will still repeat it. The North must support anybody from the South. Even let the person be Yoruba, Ukwani, Kalaba, Ishekiri. You must support us because we support you people. Only them cannot be president. We connect with them to become president. So they must connect with us to become president. This place is not meant for one region. It's not meant for one region. We must join us together.
so that there will be peace. All this agitation will stop. Money.
Okay, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Wow. Kenny, you know what? Let's jump on our last, I have like four more areas to touch, but I'm going to have to take this last one because I'm thinking I can give somebody a chance to win 10,000 naira today. But Kenny, Babangida spoke about the coup. This is what he said about it. Take a listen.
Do you think the military coming in to power was a great setback for Nigeria?
Well, I saw the military's intervention as part of developing process in a developing country like Nigeria. I can take you back to, say, the whole continent of Africa. Sometimes in 1952, military started intervening in governance in Africa. 52 was Egypt. And then from Egypt, this started going through to other countries. And it was a war then to stage a coup in a lot of these countries. And we couldn't be an exception. We had officers who were trained, officers who were highly educated.
Kenny, we can't go any further than that, but because of time, just one sentence, because of time, what's your thought about what he said on coup?
I think he wasn't honest about coups, because he said in 1952 coups had started in Africa, and so Nigerians had brilliant soldiers who were educated, who were exposed, who thought that they should also maybe become like the African neighbors who were also carrying out military incursions.
Quickly, Kenny.
I think he was not very honest.
All right.
In the areas of cool.
All right, Kenny.
That's my assessment.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Crossfire today, Kenny.
I appreciate it.
Let's go to break, Lagos. We'll be right back before we close shop this morning.
This is an infomercial. This is a public service announcement. Ongoing recruitment for an independent brand manager at an international company with the most history worldwide. Do you have a car and a valid driver's license? Are you enterprising with a positive attitude, ready to take advantage of an amazing business opportunity? If so, please call 081-5705-0505 or 0905-6374-258 to book for an interview.
More conversation, more talk, more right after this.
Lagos, Nigeria, that's our show today. We'll bring you the news after the news. Table Talk is next. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I'm on social media, Sheriff Quadri. See you tomorrow at 5. Headlines next.